And Dale, could you change the batteries in this? Thank you, sir. Pastor Hain is not feeling well. And so he called and said he wouldn't be able to preach tonight. Now, you know, one of the things when you're a preacher of the Word of God, people come to the house of God, and one of the things you expect in the house of God is repentance. And I don't mean repentance like I'm a lost sinner, or I've been shooting smack or something. We're not talking about that. But the Bible says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? Trusting him and in repentance. Walk that way. There's a lot of little things that you need to change your mind on. Okay? And so the Bible says of the pastor, let's not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Okay? Lest peradventure the Lord teach those who oppose themselves, it says. You realize when you have a wrong idea in your head, you're your own worst enemy. So the Bible says you oppose yourself. Okay? So the pastor isn't to strive with that person. He's to be gentle with him, long-suffering, and hope that the Lord will come in and give that person repentance. Okay? Then that person delivers themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive at his will. The devil captures people who think wrong. Okay? The answer to that is thinking right. Okay? So when you're a pastor, who's preaching to you? Okay? So many a pastor will tell you they go for long periods of time where you just have to trust the Lord to show you what you're doing wrong. But if you're John Asquith, you got Pastor Hain, Pastor Emeritus, all right? He can come in here on Wednesday nights, kick your butt a little bit, all right? He'll get you straight on some things. And it's just a good process. It's been a blessing to me to have that, okay? So again, but Pastor Hain said tonight he's not feeling good. Now, the blessing behind that, not that Pastor Hain isn't feeling good, but I was preparing for Sunday. And again, after Sunday services, we plan on going down to North Carolina again and picking Ruth Ann up. But really, again, I could have had the boys bring Ruth Ann back. But, yeah, well, Taryn's excited. Yeah, he's going. But the thing is, I could have had the boys bring her back, but I want to be at the meeting where Brother McVeigh and Ron Williams will be preaching down there at the Living Waters Baptist Church. So I want to be part of that. So getting ready to preach on Sunday, I really almost despaired this afternoon thinking, how can I get all this done on Sunday? And then when Pastor Hain called her, oh, that's why the Lord gave me more messages than I could handle on Sunday, all right? Because he wanted me to preach tonight. So I'll be doing that. We have Josh Peterson with us out of Pennsylvania, Brother Hockenberry. What's the name of your church, Brother? Second Chance Bible Church. Good friends with Brother McVeigh down there in southern Pennsylvania. Brother Hockenberry's pastor. He's working in Rochester, so he drove an hour and a half to be a church here. We have some people drove from Geneseo, so they drove quite a ways to be here. Some people came from Shingle House and people from North Tonawanda even. All right. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm probably the only one not there, but 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, one of the things I deal with a lot is the doctrine of the heart. And we've dealt with it, and a lot of people have it straight now what the heart is, all right? And again, the Bible definition of the heart is that part of you that thinks in your own language on your insides. Sometimes your lips even move when you're doing that thinking. Hannah, for example, when she was at the altar, said she prayed in her heart, but her lips moved, no sound came out, okay? The servant, Abraham's servant, very complex prayer he prayed about the daughter or the woman who should marry Isaac. He said, I prayed it in my heart, okay? So the part of you that does that intense thinking on the inside, the Bible shows that's your heart. The Bible showed you what Haman was thinking in his heart. He had complete sentences in his heart. And said he said it in his heart. No one heard that out loud. He said that in his heart. But tonight I want to step up to deal with the mind. What is the mind? Okay. Now, your Bible is exact as any science book ever written. Okay. But oftentimes, science and medicine use different terms, and psychology use different terms, or even the common people use different terms than your Bible uses. So people sometimes are reading these words in their Bible and not understanding the process going on inside of them. What is that? Okay. You know, when you're in first or second grade, they do things like showing you how to read your own pulse. You know, oh, that's your heart beating. And oh, that's what that is. And you're so happy, you know, how your heart beats. But the thing is, in your Bible, you can learn what your heart is. And tonight we're going to deal with what is your mind. Okay. You also have your thoughts. You also have your spirit. You also have your soul. They're all parts of you. And when we identify them, yeah, I got that. Okay, that's what's going on. But what we're going to do is so that you reading your Bible can understand, oh, that's what that is. Okay? So, real quickly, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. I've already used the joke, probably everybody's there but me. Yeah, I've already used it. All right, I won't say it. All right. It says this, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind." So they're distinctly two different things. Your heart and your mind are two different things, okay? Now, those of you who have ever been perplexed by a decision, you know that. Okay? Your heart tells you to do one thing, your mind tells you to do another. And sometimes you have to make up your mind between them. I've talked about this before, but when Gene Roddenberry first designed Star Trek, some of you have watched that, some of you are backslid, you've never watched it, all right? But the thing is, when he designed Star Trek, one of the things that he thought about was the idea that when you're reading a novel, you get inside the person's head, all right? He's walking up and he sees a fire in the house. But meanwhile, there's a cry from the road. Which one do I go to, you know? And you see his decision-making process. When you're watching a movie or a TV show, you see the fire in the house, the cry from the road. They try all these facial expressions to show he's thinking through it, but you don't know what they're thinking. So Roddenberry developed three characters. One of them, Spock, was to be the logical one who would always say, "Captain, we need to nuke the planet." Okay? Then McCoy would be the emotional one. "Kirk, you can't kill 4 billion people, you know?" And then the captain would have to think between the emotional and the logical and come up with a decision what to do. So what he did is he took the normal character process that you'd see in one person, divided into three people to make it work for TV. Now, whether or not you ever liked science fiction or anything else, it was a very successful way to express thought, emotion, and reasoning, decision-making power. Okay, you have that going on inside of yourself all the time because you have a heart and you have a mind. You have both of those. We've talked about the old joke before where the girlfriend asked her boyfriend, "Do you love me for my body or my mind?" And he said, "You have a mind." You know? And if she had a mind, that was the last she ever talked to him. All right. But the thing is, you have both of those, and we're going to look at what the mind is. Now, also, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll go to verse 37. And all I'm going to do is see this. Same thing we talked about in 1 Samuel. I'm going to show you that it's repeated again. This isn't just a one and off type of thing. Jesus said unto him, Matthew 22, verse 37, said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Okay? All three of those have to be involved. Now, what is the soul? Well, real quickly, the soul is you. Okay? The soul is you. It's a combination of your heart and your mind and your spirit together, okay? It's, in typology, in the Old Testament, it's symbolized by the fat, okay? For example, if you've ever watched an animal be skinned or you've skinned an animal, you know, you think to yourself, somebody's got a woodchuck or a raccoon, they want to skin it, and they slit it, they grab pliers and jerk that skin off of that, and what you see is this shimmering blob in the exact shape of that raccoon, but those identifying features are missed other than that. If your body was gone, you'd see that blob underneath. That's your soul. That's you. Okay? And it's symbolized by that in the Word of God as the fat. Okay? So that's what the soul is. But what is the mind? Okay? So we're going to go a little bit further to get that straight. Go to the book of Philippians. It's one of the things that when somebody starts to get serious about the Word of God, and from time to time, some of you get serious about it, and I rejoice in that. It is important to know the distinctions. What's going on inside of me? Okay? What's going on inside of me? What are all these things? When it says, you know, my spirit and my soul, what are these things? And the Bible, they're not just some loose words out there somewhere. This is a book put together by God. Okay? So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, look what the Apostle Paul says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he describes the mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Okay, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So now let's take that apart a little bit. Number one, when Jesus Christ would make statements about I and my Father, the Pharisees would pick up rocks and say that he was robbing from God, making himself equal with God. You robbed from God doing that. You're stealing God's glory, making yourself equal. Did he think it was robbery to call him equal to God? Not at all. And Paul remembered that. He remembered the indignation of picking up rocks about this guy. You made yourself equal to God. Didn't bother him. Okay? Didn't bother him at all. Why? Because he's equal to God. Okay? So he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? What was his mindset? He humbled himself. Okay? And made himself obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So that was a mindset that Jesus Christ had. Walking through things, okay? It would be like Chuck Norris going into a bar and let thugs beat him up. Okay? In other words, Chuck Norris can walk through a bar and nobody's going to beat him up. I saw a picture today of a chess set. There was only one pawn on the other side. Chuck Norris had it. All right? And, but it's just that idea again, that nobody's going to whoop me type of thing. But you decide to take that whooping. I have a good friend of mine by the name of Blake Lindsay, a South Carolina policeman, and for a while he worked at a mental institution where they assigned him there. They need some extra detail. And anybody that's ever known cops, you're trained that if you say you're going to arrest somebody, you bring them in. No matter what it takes, you bring them in. And he talks about chases through the woods and everything. The only time he ever got thrashed to pieces was he had to subdue a mentally retarded man who was about 35 years old and big. And Blake made up his mind, I will not hurt him. I will not hurt him. And that man hurt Blake. Okay? That man did horrible things to him. But he took him. He brought him in without hurting him and brought him in. His rotator cuff was torn, all these different places on him. Why? Because he made up his mind. Would Blake have had any problem taking that man and take none whatsoever? But he made up his mind. I'll let this man whoop me before that happens, okay? I remember standing behind Pastor Randall one time, and we were on the street, and some guy's threatening to beat him up. And then I stood and looked, and Pastor Randall had locked his hands behind his back, and they'd actually turned white. He didn't want to do anything fast. He didn't want to do anything fast. He was going to let the guy hit him, but he was afraid of his reflexes, okay? And he was going to let the guy hit him. What is it? You make up your mind. Jesus Christ settled his mind. He made the opinion that even though I am equal with God, I will be obedient to these people crucifying me. He made up his mind. I will do that. Okay? So the mind is actually a settled opinion. Okay? When you change your mind, what do? You're changing an opinion you have, aren't you? Okay? When you change your mind. I often tell people don't change their mind. You're like people don't change their socks and underwear. They stink after a while. Okay? You know, it's one of those things that everybody needs to change their mind from time to time. Okay? As you grow, it might be subtle little shifts, but you need to change your mind from time to time on things. But your mind in the Bible is where your thoughts have come up and settled an opinion on something. Now, right off the bat, keep this in mind. That often handcuffs people and traps them. Something in their mind is not right. They're not mentally ill. They just have a wrong fact in their mind. Okay? How about the doctors who thought it was stupid to wash your hands? Okay? Were they mentally ill men? No. They'd all gone through medical school. They'd learned surgery. I read recently the story of President Garfield being shot, 20th President of the United States. And basically, every single person knows now that his doctor killed him, reaching his hand in without washing it. His doctor killed him. He would have lived through the initial shot. But his doctor killed him. Why? Because his doctor had wrong information in his mind. His doctor believed that that whole theory of germs and everything was wrong. Okay? So now, no matter how brilliant this man is, no matter what a skilled surgeon he is, because he's got something wrong in his mind, he's going to kill that man. Okay? Many of you have heard me use the illustration before of the surgery that went on in Georgia at the VA many years ago. Well, it went on back in the 90s, actually. It's not too many years ago. But what had happened is a veteran about 70 years old had gone in to have heart surgery, and they gave him the wrong blood type on the operating table. And fortunately, the surgeon noticed all the signs of the wrong blood type, and he saved that man in time. He didn't even have to have an examination. He knew the signs. They had purged that man. Everything else saved him. It was all they could do. Well, the man's family had some pull with the government and knowing senators and such. And that VA hospital was taken apart. How could you let something that stupid happen? Okay, they brought in all the most modern computer equipment. They brought in all these things. Staff had to be trained and everything else. 6 months later, when they're done, it's now a shining example of everything that can be done. The guy comes back in for surgery, and what no one had ever done is told the guy who's in the blood room that the little box he had with the 3x5 cards in it was wrong. No one ever told him. And so when they sent for the blood type, the guy with the 3x5 cards opened it again and brought the guy's name out, and they killed him the second time. Okay? So what was the problem? It wasn't that the doctors didn't care or anything else, but somewhere there was a wrong fact. Somewhere there was a wrong fact, and that wrong fact killed him. So what your Bible is trying to do is to go through you and get the wrong facts out of your head. Okay? It's trying to get them out of your head, because those are what's hurting you. Okay? It's one thing if you just have lust, you know, I just want to get high, or I just want to go, you know, do that. You know, that's one thing. But sometimes our mistakes come because we just don't know what the truth is on certain little subjects, okay? And because we don't know what the truth is on certain little subjects, we tend to get bigger things wrong. I was explaining to Ronnie, for example, how a GPS works. If you go out there and turn your GPS on, if your GPS only touches one satellite, it's not going to do much good. Because actually, that GPS can tell you exactly to within feet how far away it is from that satellite. It can do that. That's what it's designed to do. Then when there's two satellites, it's got this. And with three of them, it can tell you pretty close to where you are on the Earth, okay? Because of its distance from each one. With six of them, it can come down to within feet. The Army has ones that can do it within millimeters, okay? They can tell where it is. But each satellite has to have that coordination with that GPS. Well, when I tell you new things, your brain is trying to connect with the satellites in your brain of different things you already know, okay? So if I told you, if I want you to go to Dollar General, that's 5.1 miles down the road, you already know that. So I want you to drive to Dollar General, all right? Your brain says 5.1 miles, okay? And then I said, what I want you to do is look and see, do you have enough gas to get to Cuba? Well, what's the problem if you don't know that the town down there is Cuba and you're thinking of Cuba down in the Mediterranean, okay? And not the Mediterranean, but the Caribbean, all right? All of a sudden, you've got a wrong fact in your head, don't you? Everything else I'm saying to you, you're not stupid. You just didn't know that town was named Cuba down there, okay? So now everything else.